We're reading from the third chapter of Canto 2, Pure Devotional Service, Change of Heart. Throughout the chapter, this phrase, change of heart, is very important. It appears again and again in the purports and certainly in the theme of the verses. It's borrowed, it seems, from the phrase change of heart, comes from the last verse of the previous chapter. Punanti te vishaya vishud vidushita asanam. Vidushita asanam. Secluded aim of life. And completely ridding oneself from the secluded aim of life. Punanti. It's a byproduct, or it's an outcome, it's a consequence of the process of human enchanting and then the proper way. And doing that, making this change of heart, is what Shukadeva Goswami is saying is the duty of every person, especially the duty of one who's about to die. Told Prabhupada that they march picture even the next 7 days to live, we don't know the next 7 minutes. We're all about to die. Today, tomorrow. So it's making a change of heart is really the message of the chapter, and then the means of making that change is this process of giving and chanting it. And who's eligible for having that change of heart take place? You have to be way up there in your evolution of spiritual consciousness, and then it will happen. There's the goal that's way up there, but the verse that we discussed this morning, akama, sarva kama, la moksha kama, without a new kivrinya, bhakti yogini, jiva kumasam, haram. Everyone's eligible, regardless of circumstance, provided that we take up Kiva Bhakti, very focused kind of Kiva Bhakti. So, it's a lot easier to do that if one is pure. If one is not pure, how does that impetus come? So, this evening's verse points to the association of pure devotee with the Lord. No surprise. That is the repeat of the Bible. On the same principle as described above, as we have described in any individual church right here. The verse, text number 11, we're going to cover two verses, 11 and 12. Text number 11 reads, Etavan, Eva Vijitam Iha Nikshraya Sodaya Bhagavati Achalo Bhavo Yad Bhagavata Sangatraha. So please humor me while I share some appreciations of Srimad Bhagavatam with you. The poetry of the Srimad Bhagavatam is very relishable. As with any masterpiece of music or literature or art or something, there's certain themes that manifest themselves. I think it's some devotees that are in the process of planning new temples. Ramana Bhadra is very involved with working, thinking about the style of the architecture he would like for a new temple. A very artistic person, and lust of man, altars, and eating out of the temple, and things like that. So, there's certain, just like your arms is here, there's certain patterns that repeat themselves here on the side, up above, and over here. There's a theme to the architecture, and it creates a certain mood. So North Indian architecture is, you know, is like cushions are over the temple behind. There's certain patterns of structure that, when repeated, creates an art, like architectural or art theme, like that. Music in a musical score. There's certain notes that repeat themselves, and mentioned this yesterday. So, same thing I mentioned that yesterday in terms of sarvatra sarvada, that means that everywhere and all circumstances, all times and all places. So, here another cluster of words appears as a refrain in this verse and several other places in the Bhagavatam. So, this is characteristic. Because otherwise, this information is not unique. This ekavan, evalokesmin, it appears in several places. Here is ekavan evalokesmin, but in Lord Kapiladeva's discussions with his mother, Devahuti, Devahuti asks a very important question. She understands that soon her son is going to leave her. Already her husband has left her because that was her promise. Karamuni agreed with Swayambhuvamandala to marry his daughter, Devahuti, on the condition that when there was a eligible son to look after Devahuti, when he was insured, Karmoni would leave. He would stay attached to family life, he would leave. And Swayambhuvamandala said, okay. And so after the Bhimadeva was born and grew to a mature age, Karmoni left. And Devahuti could understand, because she was a very elevated devotee, her son would also leave home. And so she asks, before you leave home, please tell me, what should I do? How should I prepare myself, and how should I live my life in your absence? And he explained that you should be in the association of devotees. Be in the association of devotees that are always engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead. And then he spoke this verse, Etavan evalokesmin kunsam nikshayaso nayaha tigrena bhakti yogena. Sound familiar from this morning's verse? Tigrena bhakti yogena. And mano mayarki comes hiram. I think it would be nice if we had the verse written on the board, so you're going to have to listen carefully. So I'm picking phrases. He made a bhakti yogi in this morning. Right? You with me? Akama sarva kama vara mocha kama jadarni. He made a bhakti yogi. This is yesterday, the verse before, this morning, the verse. And so, he made a bhakti yogi, and it's the same statement that Kapiladeva makes to Devahuti. And this Tivra Bhakti, it provides Punsam Nikshaya Sodayaha. So we'll break that down. Shreya. You know what Shreya means. Shreyas and there's Shreyas. Shreyas is immediate benefit of gratification, like children want to run play. And their parents show them their fingers. Don't move once. And as soon as children. Parents, they are praying for immediate happiness. Praying is long-term benefit. And Nikshayasa is the highest benefit, same as Shreya Uttama. So Nikshaya Sodhayaha Adayaha Udayaha. Udaya means developing or manifesting. Nikshaya Sodhayaha. But the topmost, that which is most desirable of anything that exists becomes manifest by Buddha Bhakti. And the next verse is going to itemize what are those things, those ideal things. Now, some of you here are taking the Bhakti Shastri course summertime. Not summertime, I'm taking you. Bhakti Shastri course. And one of the subjects that you study is next to devotion. The chapter heading, the title of chapter 1 of next to devotion is 6 characteristics of pure devotional service. The first 2 of those 6 characteristics of devotional service correspond with sadhana bhakti, the next 2 correspond with bhava bhakti, and the final 2 correspond with prema bhakti. So we're doing sadhana bhakti, we're not bhava or prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, issues 2, there's characteristics, 2 characteristics of devotional service, and even in the sadhana stage. And it corresponds with what's being discussed here, this person, the next verse. And that is, it's the beginning of all auspiciousness. And it eliminates, or terminates, or diminishes all material suffering. Kreshadhi is Shubhadra. This is Sanskrit phrase. We'll come back to the Bhagavatam with this little sidebar on nectar devotion. What Rupa Goswami is teaching with his 36 characteristics of devotional service, it's not just he pulled it out of his imagination. He reached in a hat and pulled out a piece of paper and said something. Wasn't a man and thing like that. It's directly discussed or revealed in the scriptures. This Nikshaya Sodhara, the same idea as Shubhadara. Devotional service, when it's done properly, it ushers in, it Udayaha, it develops, it manifests and develops just of its own accord. We don't need something else. Of its own accord, devotional service brings Shubha or Nikshaya Sodhara. It brings in and develops the topmost benefit that human existence can provide, can experience. Etavan, this phrase Etavan, it's a pronoun and it refers to all the other types of worship mentioned previously. It's yesterday evening discussed, beginning of this chapter, pure devotional service. Shukadeva Goswami wants to contrast what isn't pure devotional service, and that's worship of the demigods, because it's not of the personality of God, it won't bring one to that stage of ultimate purity, plus when part is infested with material desires. The good news is, even if we have material desires, if we worship the Supreme Pure, we become pure. So, Etavan, all of these different types of worshippers, Ava yajatam. Ava is certainly, like emphatically, definitely like this. Yajatam, while worshiping, the personality of Godhead, Bhagavati, Achalo Bhavo, Bhagavati Achalo Bhavo, Achalo Chala and Achalo. Chala is the mind. Different. Achala is unflinching. Unflinching devotion. When Achalo Bhavo, Prabhupada has translated this as spontaneous attraction. If you remember from class this morning, I discussed Jiva Goswami asking the question, how can one develop attraction for Krishna? Our minds are attracted to so many things, if only we can become attracted to Krishna. And then the other things are just day, just day into oblivion. Unimportant, insignificant. So, that's this other benefit that comes from sadhana bhakti. Where the sufferings of material existence, kleshas, are limited. Kreshagi and Shukamati. It's like inversely proportional. When this one goes up, that one goes down. When the light goes up, the darkness disappears. When the light goes down, the darkness rises. Inversely. So, when one connects with Krishna, automatically, the inauspicious things are removed, which was mentioned in the previous chapter. Someone did yesterday evening. So one can get this unflinching, achalo bhaho, unflinching faith in the personality of God, or unflinching attraction, spontaneous attraction to the personality of God. All inauspicious things are eliminated, all auspiciousness comes into light. That's a great program. How do you get there? Yam Bhagavata Sangata. One needs the association of the Bhagavata. So this is another appreciation of the poetry of the Bhagavata. This Bhagavata is mentioned in the first canto. What is the verse? Well, by serving the Bhagavata, Nashta Prayeshu Avadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloki Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtati. So, hear that sound with the background as you're hearing this verse. Yam Bhagavata Sangatana. Only by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord does it come to pass that this achala bhava, unflinching, spontaneous attraction to Krishna comes. So, again, this Kapila Dev is not the only one that spoke this phrase. Prahlad Maharaj spoke the same phrase when he's giving his little Bhagavad Gita class to his classmates when Sandra and Monica leave the classroom. They tell them, let's chant Hare Krishna. Let's pray. Not Shreyas, Prayas. No, not only Shreyas, but Nik Shreyas, Sodayaha. Chant, let's chant. So, as when he explains all this transcendental knowledge to them, they ask, Prahlad, where did you get this knowledge? This is anything we learn from the sons of Shukracharya, was ready. And he explains, I heard it from Ananda. And I was still within the womb of my mother. I remembered everything, but somehow when she got back in the association of Ranikashipu, she forgot everything. But I heard it from him. And he's teaching devotional service. And he concludes the whole chapter, the last verse of Prabhupada's instructions to the classmates is, Etava Nivaloke Sin, Pamsam, Svartha, Para Smitaha, then Ekanta Bhaktir, Govinde, Ekanta Bhaktir, Govinde, Ekanta Bhaktir, Govinde, undivided devotional service. This is the goal of life. Narada taught Prahlada in such a way, Prahlada is able to answer the same question that Mark Pritchard asked. What's the goal of life? What's the duty of life? What is one to do? To render exclusive devotional service to the lotus feet of Govinda and to see him everywhere, yet sarvatra tadikshanam. This is the only goal of life. So then, how do you get to the goal? Okay, we were speaking yesterday. Identify the goal. I've heard it from the authority. That's the goal. Now how do I get there? That is bhagavata sambhata, the association of pure devotees of the Lord. One more, just so we can appreciate the poetry of the Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Swami says the same thing when he's answering Maharaj Pritchard's question about the beginning of the sixth canto. And Maharaj Pritchard has heard about the hellish planets at the end of the fifth canto. And he wants to know what can help prevent people from suffering or hellish conditions of life. And he says, devotional service. Because devotional service alone not only can eliminate the reaction, kleshadhi, but it can completely establish one in the natural activity or even the tendency for material existence. Won't that be nice? Even the tendency of material existence is gone. Like, well, gone. You don't even have to like watch your backside. It's just gone. Gone. And his answer is pure devotional service. And the summary at the end of that discussion between those two, my friendship, Shukadeva Goswami says, Etavan Vivalokesmin, Pungsam Dharma Para, Smitaha, Bhakti Yoga Bhagavati, Tan Nama Gravanathagiri. Because the theme of the sixth canto is the occupational duty for mankind. So its couch, the statement is presented in terms of paradharma. This is the paradharma. And also because of the sixth canto, the theology of the holy name is presented. So specifically starting with Tannama, beginning with the chanting of the holy name, which is very, it's what we're doing. This is our, you know, we need to know this message very, very clearly. Not only do it, but also to understand the purpose behind, how it works, and a little bit, the technology of receiving the grace of Krishna, receiving the pure holy name. He says, devotional service beginning with chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the highest religious principle for the living entity in the society. We're getting the best. It's like if you want to buy a car, And somebody says, here's the best. Here's whatever the company thinks the best is. Here's the Rolls Royce. I don't know, I was just looking for a car. Well, here's the key. Take it. Take the key to the tunnel. No payment. Just use it carefully. Just use it carefully. I don't know what you're doing. But we're being given the topmost standard of pure devotion. Where it's not only out there, it's in here, but there's pure devotion in the heart. We have to make some distinctions. I'll go through how Prabhupada addresses this and so forth. He speaks first about the material plan makers. They want happiness. He makes a plan for happiness. They don't have any regard for authority, like scriptural authority or personalities above themselves. They just make their plan using the best of their smarts and try to enjoy it. Then there's another group of those stewards and workers, relying upon their own resources, their own good karma, and their own intelligence, and their own ability, and their own cleverness. Above the fruited workers are people who are pious, and they submit themselves to controlling personalities in the universe. So the worship of the demigods is for that purpose. So, advice. All plans for material enjoyment, either by worship of different demigods, as described in the previous verses of this chapter, or by modernized advancement of scientific knowledge without the help of God or demigod, are all illusory. For despite all such plans for happiness, the conditioned living being within the compass of material creation can never solve the problems of life, birth, death, disease, and old age. The history of the universe is full of such plan makers and many kings and emperors and dynasties that come and gone, leading a plan-making story only. But the prime problems of life remain unsolved, despite all the letters by such plan makers. So there's this Jiva Goswami, in his commenting on this section, makes the same point of it, with that perspective. There's modern approach to life, as just mentioned. Nature plan. Get your group together, your company, or your ism, or your something, your research group, developing things. You get together and make a plan, and you execute your plan, and the plan says, I'm going to enjoy it. That's the carrot. And the plan for enjoyment, that's just thinking that I mentioned this to Tessinaka yesterday, we're driving along all these very complicated highways in Houston. And Prabhupada's comment is, in your country, you have so many elaborate arrangements for cars, the automobile civilization, petroleum, nice highways. People are so important to have all these facilities that other countries don't have. They're, third world countries, they don't have. But other people driving in those cars, going swiftly from A to B place, are they happy? Either an A or a B or even C? Is this the standard of happiness? So there's some persons that understand that's not the standard of happiness. Let me approach some higher authority to find my happiness. So then there's the religious idea within the Vedic civilization, where one looks to the worship of the demigods, just as we explained earlier in this chapter. I have a desire to go to this demigod. I respect the demigod. I'm not just this crude look at your own comprehension of person and respect him as any God in his brother and sister. So now that he doesn't come, it doesn't say that this appears to be happening. However, the followers of the Vedas had a different method, this approaching the authority method. They accept the statements of the Vedic literature as authority in toto, as we have already discussed in Canto 1. Both Canto 2 is building on Canto 1. Canto 1 is how transcendental knowledge is acquired. It's this descending process. And it's not descending knowledge. Very important. Descending knowledge isn't just close your eyes and believe. Not a blind following kind of thing. It's Prabhupada right with full and reasonable knowledge of God and demigods. Certainly when Prabhupada was actually, he would expand elaborately again and again and again on the reasonableness of God and demigods. You would say, you know, we have leading personalities in the city, in the country, in the world. Is there no such thing about a planet? It is simple. The orderliness of the universe, there's no supervision of that orderliness. It is simple. It's a teleological argument. It's just a feeling for me. It's not a proof. It's reasonable. There's life in the water. You cannot live in the water. Does that mean there's no life in the water? There's life in the air. You cannot live in the air. Does that mean there's no life in the air? You cannot live in fire. Does it mean there's no life in fire? The scientists have demonstrated you can't sterilize the material of all living entities just like living in fire. There's some living entities that are capable of living in fire. So is it reasonable to say there's no life in the sun? We have it from authority, there's life on the sun, but just from reason. Is there no life in the water, no life in fire, no life in the air? Is it reasonable? It's reasonable that there's life. The statement of the Vedas, Sarva Gata, there's living entities everywhere. So, in so many different ways, Prabhupada helped his Western influence audience to understand the reasons why it's reasonable. So when we approach even the statements of scripture with reasoning capacity isn't proved, all because it matches my reasoning capacity and how I accept it. It's not a standard. But we do look at things, we do use our reasoning capacity. It's just part of the equipment that Krishna has given us in music. But that's important to this other principle, the descending knowledge principle. So, no authority, some authority. The Supreme Personality, God has the Supreme Authority, leaving aside all other desires and just wanting a loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. That's the goal, that's the top of the pyramid, that's the target. And if we take up Jiva Bhakti underneath, in the association of the guidance of one who is Bhagavata, the Bhagavata Sangatava is the medium, the bridge, where we can get from where we are to this Jiva Bhakti position. It's a very different way of life. It's a very wonderful way of life. But it's a very different way of life. The method of knowledge is contrastingly different. The systems of faith are contrastingly different. It's not that there's no faith in materialistic way of life. There's great faith. How determined are the materialists? How determined was Kamsa to kill Krishna, or Jarasandha. How determined is Jarasandha to defeat Krishna, who's totally humiliated time and time again, and still very determined? There's keep or something. So we should have similar determination and faith in this most wonderful outcome, especially when we hear from authoritative scriptures how it is so, and we see the lives of great personalities, how it is so, again and again. But there's a contrasting faith called the gross materialist. Without any faith in the Vedic version, remains eternally in darkness, driven by a false conviction, that is, they have another faith on the basis of imperfect experimental knowledge, or so-called material science, which can never reach into the realm of transcendental knowledge. They have faith too. They have faith in their ascending knowledge system. And we have faith in the descending knowledge system. And the outcomes are the quality of life. This is one of the things that I share with Prabhupada. After Prabhupada had published the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, you can read about it in the Lamrita, but I experienced it. It was quite a stir in this time. I mean, like big time. Because the devotees who were grown up in a Western culture had been schooled, fed since childhood in certain, you know, assumptions of systems and, you know, points of knowledge. And the Bhagavatam directly challenged Prabhupada explaining. He did it deliberately. He translated things and purported things deliberately to confront the blind faith that people have in modern science. He stated privately, and we stated in the book, and he stated it privately, that this is the greatest obstacle in spreading Christian consciousness today, is the blind faith that people have in science. So he head on took the bull by the horn and challenged fundamental assumptions and it spun people out. And people went flying through the air, left Krishna consciousness because they were too attached to their, you know, the assumptions of certain assumptions of modern science. And then Prabhupada began explaining to the devotees who come. I remember the tour across America, and went from New York, Toronto, to Detroit, heading for Los Angeles. And there were groups of devotees that were traveling with him in each place, and whenever there was darshan time, the Prabhupada would have like an intense discussion about the example of Bhagavatam. And so one of the big issues was, but science can explain this or that. And how do we understand, you know, the structure of the universe, the Bhagavatam? The Prabhupada was explaining this example that there may be different ways to chart your travel from point A to point B. You may look at a map on a globe that's three-dimensional. You may look at a flat map. And you can go from point A to point B. And it looks very different according to the map that you have. As long as we get you from point A to point B, that's what's important. Practically, that's what's most important. So the language of the Bhagavatam describes the structure of the universe in different language than the modern science does. But as long as it explains what's actually the cosmology of the universe, the cosmography of the universe, that's the objective. The language is different. And then Prabhupada said, we like the Vedic language because look at the outcome. This was like trump card, final Because look at the quality of life that comes from Vedic culture, and look at the quality of life that comes from modern society. Now you choose. Which system do you want? Based upon the outcome of the quality of life, is it a difficult choice? He was asking the devotees. No, we're doing what we're doing because we like the quality of life of devotion. We don't like the quality of life of material wrangling and competition and nastiness. We don't like it. We have to live with it, but we don't like it. We like things like, we would like to somehow transform that nasty into something more Vedic. It's just challenging. Prabhupada explained, therefore we said, hey, it was a practical argument. The discussion ended, you know, there was a shutdown. If you can't understand the language of the Bhagavatam, look at the outcome of one was a careful follower of the Bhagavatam or the Vedic wisdom. Look at that. Don't argue. So then you have to have a genuine follower, or on the theme of this chapter, it has to be a change of heart. Jagatananda Pandit, in his book Prema Vivarta, writes, one of mine I like very much, he says, the language is very important, he says, don't make the foolish mistake of trying to cross a boat, of trying to cross a river with 1 foot and 2 boats. Because you'll end up in the river, not on the other shore. Rather, take both feet firmly in one boat. Similarly, when we're trying to travel across the ocean of material existence in the boat of Krishna consciousness, or transcendental life, put both feet in the transcendental boat. Not, as they call it, hedging something over here and something over there. Both feet. Krishna and faith. Krishna will protect you. Krishna isn't going to neglect you. Krishna isn't going to ignore your needs. Trust Krishna. And one who trusts Krishna realizes Krishna is trustworthy. And one who doesn't realize it. There's always the hedging. And it's very difficult to, even if you've ever had an experience with boats and water, put 1 foot on the dock and 1 foot on the boat. They're dangerous. It's both foot in the boat or both feet on the dock, but not, you know, so to speak of, 2 boats. They're dangerous. So the appeal, this Tigra Bhakti, or Nikshaya Sodayaha, where the fullest capacity of auspiciousness is established and developed further, that comes when one makes this gesture of faith, and that faith is Prabhupada's Protestant Pandavia is created in the association of the lotus, more specifically, it's nurtured. Because faith is already here. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have faith. So there's faith. And it's through the association of this very quality personality, the person in Agarata, one is living their life by this teaching. They're breathing, thinking, eating, sleeping, living, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada said to John Lennon, when he was asking, whose translation of Bhagavad Gita should I read? I believe in Bhagavad Gita, but whose translation of Bhagavad Gita should I read? Prabhupada's reply was, if you do believe in Krishna, with a pause, indicated, I'm not sure that you do. If you do believe in Krishna, then whose temptation would you want to meet? Someone that's, the whole life is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So serving Krishna, thinking of Krishna, waking, sleeping, eating, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That person's going to know Krishna. And that person's going to be able to sing Krishna's words and Bhagavad Gita. So find such persons and associate with such persons that at least in the cultivation stage, we're trying to live like that. And our purpose in Krishna consciousness is to create such association, to be such association for one another. You know, it needs to. I was just having a discussion with a godbrother of his wife just this afternoon about this point, that increasing the number of devotees is very nice. I believe, personally, more important is helping those that have already made a commitment become devotees, to go more deeply into Krishna consciousness and experience the essence of Krishna bhakti. Because that kind of an experience, go more deeply together, automatically the numbers are going to increase because it's very powerful. You have a quality something, a quality experience. Persons want that. Now there may be a price they have to pay to get that. What's the price? According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the price is faith. A beautiful song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he describes that Nityananda created a marketplace of the holy name, Namahata, a marketplace of the holy name. And he set up shop, and he called his salespeople, you have to sell this for a fair price. And a fair price is faith. And according to the quality of faith, you give the holy name. And then he told them, then the salespersons were going out, take the holy name. And not only when you take the holy name, you get a commission. It's right in the verse, in the song. The commission is those that give that experience of the pure holy name, they benefit too, not only other people. But there has to be something, it has to be genuine. The real thing. The real thing. In the marketplace today, there's so many persons while we're in, you know, living our lives in Krishna consciousness. There are lots of people out there in the yoga circuit that are impersonalists that are chanting the holy name. Lots and lots and lots of what's going on. Very popular. Very popular. I just sent out the CD thing and sent it out to some others. There's lots of summer camps for kids. Lots and lots of kids. Little age, they get a spoon-fed impersonalism in the name of preserving native culture, and preserving Indian culture. Very careful doses every day. So, what are we going to do? It's going on. So, we need to evolve. We need to expand the services that we render to help people experience the holy name, experience the message of Krishna consciousness. But we ourselves must also go very deeply. And at the same time, we have, you know, very challenging occupational duties and family responsibilities. And, you know, if you look at the challenge of the whole thing, it can be overwhelming. How can I do this? But when there's faith, when faith is carefully nurtured, all of that big obstacle shrinks. I mean, in other words, Krishna gives one the capacity to address in Krishna consciousness all those challenges. And the more you have faith, this is something that I've experienced over period of time. The more you have faith, Krishna is very expert. He gives you or challenges. There's always more service than we can do. Are we praying intensely to Krishna, please help me in the proper way to do my service? Some ability comes and then that we're now to service and teach us. Krishna's tribute, he's transcendentally keeping us always in the humble position, always calling out to him. That's good. As long as we have proper faith, we won't feel overwhelmed. We'll feel Krishna's very kind. Krishna's giving me an opportunity to surrender more. Become more fixed at the lotus feet. Simply holding on tight to the lotus feet. That's a nice position. Don't become complacent. Familiar with that. Go more deeply into the realm of Krishna conscious experience and enthusiastically, automatically will follow. You want to share that experience with other people. And with that, the option, the alternative of materialistic life fades that was just unattractive. Which at a certain level may be a struggle to overcome the attraction. It's just the attractiveness fails and it's gone. Prabhupada calls it here in the purport, different phases of phantasmagoria. No consequence, no significance. Materialistic life and these ekavans, different forms of worship of demigods, etc., etc., fail. Instead, the lotus feet of Krishna shows the view. Achalo bhavo. Bhagavati, achalo bhavo. Unmentioning spontaneous attraction to Krishna. That's attractive. So, there's one more verse. This is the bottom of the brief moment I want to see here. We're okay if you come. The next verse is where Shukadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Krishna what the fruit of that kind of devotional service is. Ashava Bhavo Bhakti. Unflinching spontaneous attachment to Krishna. So, I'll read the translation. Transcendental knowledge in relation to the Supreme Lord, Hari, is knowledge resulting in complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes, that's the Kleshadhi. Such knowledge is self-satisfying, due to its being free from material attachment and being transcendental, it is approved by all authorities who fail to be attracted. The answer to that question comes later. One whose heart is steel framed can fail to be attracted. So, transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari. That's the, Prabhupada has prepared us in the previous purport about systems of knowledge, descending and descending systems of knowledge. And even within the descending systems of knowledge, there's stages of perfection of that, of the descending knowledge. Descending knowledge means recognizing that there are higher authorities in this universe than ourselves, and accepting them and acting responsibly and respectfully in relation to them, and ultimately the Supreme Lord, and ultimately undivided devotion under the Supreme Lord, taking that message to heart. So, transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the laws of eternal nature. So, the Sanskrit is Aprati Nivritta. Nivritta means illumination. Nivritta Gunorni Chakram. We have some devotees in our congregation with the name Urmila. Urmi means waves, and Urmila is a feminine name. Urmila, so Gunorni, the waves of the material nature, and Chakram, whirlpools, waves and whirlpools of the material nature, Aprati Nivritta. They're completely suspended. Like a storm, and then quiet after the storm. Completely peaceful. This transcendental knowledge has that byproduct. When you become situated in transcendental knowledge, Aprati Nivritta Gunorni Chakram, and Atma Prasad. Atma Prasad. The satisfaction of the self. It's like Atma Ram, same idea. One is satisfied within. Fully satisfied. Self-satisfied. Such knowledge is self-satisfying. Due to this being free from material attachment. Uddha Yatra Guneshu Asangataha. Detachment from the bodies of nature. Passion, ignorance. Even goodness, transcendental life. Kaivalya Samatha Kankas. In the purport, Prabhupada spends some time discussing this Kaivalya term. Bless his transcendental writers. Shiva Goswami speaks about this Kaivalya term. I'll read this. Very nice. Shiva Jiva Goswami quotes the Vedic version to explain this Kaivalya term. Eko Narayana Deva Prahalanam Haram Yaste Kaivalya Samyataha. Which means that Narayana, the personality of God, is known as Kaivalya. And the means of approaching Kaivalya is Kaivalya Pantha, which is the term of this verse. Kaivalya Samatha Pantha. So, this Kaivalya Pantha begins from Shravanam, or hearing those topics that relate to the personality of Godhead. Parikatasu. That's how it starts. So for it to start, there has to be someone vibrating. There has to be someone that you can hear from. The person involved with the book Sadhu. And the natural consequence of hearing such Parikata is attainment of transcendental knowledge, which causes detachment from all mundane topics for which the devotee has no taste at all. Hearing, in a qualitative way, brings detachment from these defects. And the happiness of these defects. And the unhappiness of these defects. Otherwise, one's caught up in it. The happiness and the unhappiness of these defects. There's no shelter. And hearing is to provide that atma prasada, the happiness, and then the Krishna, just on the sadhana stage. And specifically, Prabhupada comments about this in the purport. This transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional practice. Sadhana avastha, if properly undertaken under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. But devotees sometimes ask this question, it's a valid question, important question. When we get a spiritual feeling, what is it, how do we understand that? What is it? Is it real? Description. How is we can understand what that is? Sadhana avastha, even in the sadhana stage, if properly undertaken, there is a hatha prasad, there's a happiness from within. Now, we can take it that it's either one of two things. It's either Krishna is just being very merciful and he's encouraging us. Or we can take it that it's a reflection of the real thing. You get a glimmer of the real thing by the reflection. Just like chanting of the holy name. The Shuddha Naam, and then there's what we experience. And that's Naam Allah. So the happiness, the relief that we get from chanting with great care and attention, not just mechanical and lazy, but very attentive chanting, there's some experience that we all have that's different than if we're not, I mean, I've often thought this thought so many times. How do people do it without chanting? How do they do it? How do they go through life without chanting? How do they do it? And the only answer I can come up with is just to know. You have to be so somehow, you know, hard and know that what's going on is just is an effective. The comical and measurable power is so strong it just intoxicates people or dulls people. The persons that are more of the most good, it's hard to find such people. But there's so many undesirable things in this world. And gee, you know, to get shelter to each of those three groups of people. It's the natural compassion of Vaishnava. But so for ourselves, even in the sadhana stage, being confirmed directly here in Prabhupada's purport, it's confirmed in Rupa Goswami's teachings, let it be confirmed in our own life's experience that there's these waves and whirlpools of eternal energy. We get relief from them, the Lord. A pati of the devil. They're simply dismissed. So one can go through experiences of life where the people around us are getting stressed out to max, and the devotee is remaining very peaceful and calm. I've had many devotees describe this in their workplace. It's stress, welcome. There's a project deadline and everyone's, you know, backbiting each other and blaming the other guy, it's not done because of you and your will. And, you know, angst and anger and finger pointing and blaming and, you know, really hot. And the devotee is remaining cool and calm, just, you know, taking care of the needful steps. How is that? Because of their transcendental consciousness. Although the activity may not be an apparently transcendental activity. I just share this thing with you. In travel from Chicago to Houston, in travel into Chicago from New York, because of the switch of planes, there was a big storm in Chicago, and so they shut down, or here in Midwest, they're shutting down for 2 hours. 2.5 hours. Nothing flew in, nothing flew out. People over there were disturbed, people here were disturbed, people over there were disturbed. So when we got to Chicago, We were on the runway in New York for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. We were on the runway in Chicago for about 45 minutes because the planes weren't leaving. So the places we were supposed to go in, we couldn't go in. There were 17 planes ahead of us just to hook up to one of our little doodads who can get off the plane. We couldn't like stop the plane, let us get off the plane. We had to have the doodad with. So by the time I got off the plane, immediately we were told us, run to your next flight. Maybe they have a left there. When I got there, the plane left. Flight 500, direct flight to Houston, had already gone. So I stood in the line at that town to find out, you know, what's the next option for me to catch a flight to Houston. To make a long story short, there was a fellow standing in line that was on the same flight as New York, who recognized me somehow, maybe because of the clothes I was wearing, that Yadav also wanted to go to Houston, and he was dressed out to the max. Young man, about 35, bright in the course of, he went to 5 different counters before they finally told us what came to get him. Because they were all stressed out, because, you know, they had all these people, you know, yelling at them, but they wanted to miss their flight, and they kind of get on the next flight. Impatient to that. So he saw that I was not carrying on like him. He said, well, you speak really nicely. He said, but I'm really disturbed. And then they were going from one counter to the next counter, and he said, you know, somehow you're very peaceful. For myself, I can't control my senses. He used that language. I can't control my senses. And then he looked at me. So, you know, is there some meaning to the robe that you wear? I said, yeah, he's, you know, the religious life is causing me to life of celibacy. Well, how long have you been living your life of celibacy? I said, since I've been devoted, 36, 37 years. Oh my God. And I had to give up, I was trying to give up alcohol 10 years ago. I couldn't do that. It's just a struggle. I guess, you know, different strokes for different folks. You know, some people have got to have their alcohol and got to have the sex. And some people are very peaceful. And I said, it's not just a matter of, you know, difference. It's a matter of association. It's just a matter of association. I said, I don't know. You know, some people, they're just like, like animals, like me. He said, you know, I'm a robotic doctor. I fly to 3 different continents and fix anybody's robot. They can't control my senses. He was very blunt about it. He understood his situation. But it is a matter of association. Through association, then discipline can come, and qualities can come, and capacity can come, and talent can come, and life can change. Completely change. So, association and this very important item, faith. He kept losing his way. Every time he went to another counselor and he didn't have the answer, he'd blow up. I want to speak to the supervisor. You're nonsense. You know, I'm just asking for a simple answer. No. I just went to the next place and got my boarding pass waiting for you. And, you know, he said, you know, I think if you deal with people nicely like you, that you get a lot further. I just can't control myself. Even in practical matters. And the behavior of a devotee builds faith. At the end of the thing, he said, you know, can you come to the website where I can go and find out about religion? Make it simple. It's Krishna.com. That bottle is Krishna.com. 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 Can you say that? Krishna.com. Krishna. So, just by being a devotee, then the guru ignore each other, the waves and the whirlpools of eternal nature. Although it's happening around you, it doesn't affect you. If there's shelter and cushion. And Atma Prasad is the byproduct of Jiva Bhakti. The whole, all the desires that bring disturbance, pain, pinch the heart, they're taken away. And one is faithful and can experience it, the ushering towards the spiritual world, with the shelter of Krishna. It's happening. Very encouraging. One wants to go further steps and further steps and further steps. And one needs this good association and proper guidance and training. And we should be that. We should create that with, amongst ourselves and provide that for others also. That's our sense of time. But we give that same facility to others. We can't give the facility to others that we haven't provided within our own home, within our own hearts. That's the first step. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions?
I don't understand the education
part. You don't understand the education
part?
You don't understand the association process.
Yeah, you said education.
But how can you get education both to do with things? Well, if you look to the left and to the right and front and behind you, you'll find such people. Yeah, right now. Okay. Every day. Well, continue to read. And read when you're getting some guidance or assistance in understanding what you're reading from qualified devotees. And you're going to tell me there's no qualified devotees?
No.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You know, if you have something for your last verse, then
we get the figure. No, it's not like that. That's not one of the rules. It has to be something from the previous verse, and then you can. It doesn't say that. And it's not a fact. Not a fact. I do too. It's cool. I came here from New York. My home day. Yes. Radha Govinda Mandir. Where in New York do you live? In Queens?
Yeah,
Long Island. Okay. Radha Govinda Mandir. And there's sanghas in Queens. I can give you the addresses of people that have entered sangha and you can take their association. Or you come to Radha Govinda Mandir and take association there. And there even, you know, electronically, there's all kinds of live, classes. I invite you to take part in live classes, telephonic classes, when they're discussing Krishna Kathā. And on certain points that you come across, it can be discussed immediately, live. Even in Queens.
Yeah.
stay in good association. Even if, so, you see a light in the distance, and gave this example. It's dark, but you see a light in the distance. Just keep walking towards the light. Supposing you get off the path, the main path, and go over this way. Just keep heading to the light. Go over that way. Keep heading to the light and get here. This is, you missed our yesterday evening class, but this is the point of the class. Identify the goal. And you take the means to reach the goal and you'll get there. And the guidance that you need to keep making each step carefully is spiritual master. That's what's described in the Dalai's teaching. You can take his teachings as shiksha. You're chanting, yes? Okay. So, and you read Prabhupada's books, yes? Okay. So, then by reading Prabhupada's books, it's like he becomes a shiksha guru for you. Wherever you may be. Queens or on the moon. It's shiksha guru. He's guiding you. When you read Prabhupada's books, it's not information. It's more than information, I should say. It's Prabhupada speaking to you and guiding you how to take the next step, the next step, the next step, the next step. Read in that way. And you won't feel that you don't have association. You will feel, as Prabhupada intended, that after his physical departure, he would still be accessible through these books. He said it during his physical presence. That was his wish. That after his physical departure, he would still be accessible through his shiksha in the Bhaktivedanta purpose. And in his shiksha, you will feel comfort, you will experience life and guidance. You will experience a relationship with Prabhupada. And in those teachings, will also encourage you to take shelter of those who can practically and physically guide you in your life. There are persons all over the place that can guide you in your life, in Queens. Huh?
Why do you need a person?
Why do you need a person? Because my kids shouldn't get a job like that. Is your question, why do you need a person to guide us?
Yeah.
You ask your question?
Yeah.
The answer is it's Krishna's arrangement. It's a very simple answer. Krishna's already in our heart, yes? Sarvashacharam Vishnu Sani Vishnu. He's in the heart of every living being. But we're not tuned in to the Krishna channel. We're tuned into the Maya channel. Unfortunately. Like, you know, desires and longings and expectations and I want this and I want that. While Krishna is situated in our heart. That's why we're in this material world. By taking birth in the material world, we have other desires. But Krishna, to assist us very kindly, he sends and makes arrangements for those who are right in front of us who can guide us in spiritual life. It's Krishna's arrangement. Tadvati kani patina kari prashnena sevaya upadikshyam kitevyanam yanina santadarshan 434 Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is describing his arrangement. His arrangement is he reserves the right to not disclose himself to one who is unable to take shelter of those who are dear to him. Or say it the other way, those that are dear to him are provided to help us come closer to Krishna. It's Krishna's arrangement. So that would? Okay, and some of the other personalities also. Some of the other personalities. When you get to know these other personalities, you'll be very grateful that Krishna sent them. And when you return back to New York, I can give you names of persons, and Krishna can send them too. It's It's not, so it's not something exclusive, one person alone. It's a whole community of persons, a whole sangha of persons to help us in our spiritual life. Krishna is very kind, and he provides persons who will guide us like that. Because Krishna is arranging for us. Let me ask you a question. When that wonderful day comes and you're before Krishna, so option A or option B, it's going to be just you and Krishna, or option B, surrounding Krishna are unlimited numbers of loving associates, pure devotees. Now, which one do you want? Which one is it going to be?
Okay.
It's going to be B, because that's Krishna's nature. He's very loving. So, Krishna's helping us to be ready for that by this. There's so many loving associates of Krishna. So many. And learn to develop loving relationships with those persons, thereby entitling you for the spiritual world when you can come before Krishna, before all of his pure devotees. It's like, you know, training your children. These are your children?
No.
So you train your children. You don't expect, you know, Superman. You don't expect perfect behavior. And you're trying to help them understand how to have good character, good behavior, and so on. Krishna is giving us that opportunity also by sending us his devotees. So we can learn how to behave nicely when we grow up and be, you know, mature devotees in the spiritual world. It's Krishna's arrangement to train us in Krishna consciousness. It's available just if you reach out, it's there. Someone else?
Yeah. Last week, I went to a bookstore.
Uh-huh.
I heard about the human crowd out
here. Sure, and I know what it's about.
Yes, sir. Well, I said to them, I said, this is not a water with the paper cup. And this is a paper cup. We have the problem now, but...
He's very popular and Hare Prasad is not.
My question is, how do we overcome this?
Then I will suggest that you, well, here's what I do. So I'll suggest to do what I do. Pray to Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, if only I were more pure. Then I can be a better instrument for you in this world. My dear Lord Krishna, if Srila Prabhupada was present with this person right now, would there be more of a change in this person right now because of his purity than is happening with me? It's not a difficult question to answer. So the shortcoming is over here. Not over there. My dear Lord Krishna, please make my heart pure. Please help me become a better instrument for you. That's what you should do. Strive for greater purity. And it's a wonderful thing to strive for. And then the effect that just, you know, little exchanges with people will have a greater effect. Even in ordinary humans. Because life isn't made up of a series of many such beings. So that there would be purity. Go more deeply into that mission of life of becoming pure. Really qualify yourself to be an instrument in Krishna. Rather than blunt, very sharp, very good instrument. Then Krishna will, not only he will inspire the right words, but there will be purity as the force, so we can portion to the individual whose activity. So that's what we've been discussing, pure dreams, the whole topic. Pure devotional service, change of heart. This is the Buddhistic symptom. Start with hearing from a qualified source to the qualified source. And those that are living their lives by the message of these books and associate with such persons and hear and discuss spiritual topics together, how to talk. Try, when you chant each day, to chant with maximum attentiveness. There's a challenge. Because what is maximum, what's the limit of maximum attentiveness? Aside from the fact that you are inattentive. Strive for the goal. Be clear what the goal is and strive for it. And don't be lazy. Be very committed. Keep your bhakti. So that's, and count on that the association of devotees with the Lord will help to purify us. Will help us to plant it to that even stronger desire for more purity. Well, that was a good prayer, wasn't it? My dear Lord Krishna, you know my heart. I am requesting of you to assist me in order that I can reach you. Please help purify my heart. And that purity of heart means that my desires will be your happiness. This is this morning the cloud will come past. It's a very nice phrase from Jiva Goswami. Bhagavata Paramapurusha Sukha Matra Svasukhatam. That means that let my happiness only be experiencing your happiness. That's called love. When one's happiness is the happiness of the beloved. That's love. Not what's in it for me. I get this, therefore I love you. But your happiness is my happiness. My dear Lord Krishna, please purify my heart to that degree. Please engage me in your service. The Hare Krishna mantra is a prayer. That means, please engage me in your service, in such service as your devotion. I think that's our prayer. And the next.
Very common to Sean. Seems a little unusual because Sean appears to find it satisfaction.
There's different meanings. Like, you know, Krishna Prasad and Atma Prasad. So it obviously doesn't mean the same as Krishna Prasad, the mercy of the soul. It's the soul that's so decorated. So how can one feel self-satisfaction? Well, what does he see the mercy of Krishna? Like the Atmarambas, referred to that. We're not satisfied in herself apart from Krishna, was satisfied in their relationship with Krishna. That's what it means.
When speaking to the last person, you talked about Bhagavad Sangha, and how fearful you are against what you can accomplish in the end. And you're talking about how association is important.
Yeah. you're appreciating the language of the Bhagavatam, or you're puzzled by it?
I'm not puzzled. I'm just,
okay.
I'm just kind of creating.
Yeah, Atma Prasad means one who has gotten Bhagavata Sangha. And Bhagavata Sangha can mean the association of the Bhagavatam, or the person Bhagavata, or then they receive Bhagavata Prasad. Then they become Atma Prasad. Because they're carrying that mercy. And they're feeling satisfied with that, and they don't need anything else. Offer them something else, like a man who has eaten to his fullness, full satisfaction. Would you like something else? And the answer is, Atma Prasad. Self-satisfied. Nice, huh? Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada. And I have some Mahaprasada.